Great song. Thank you, Caleb and Christy. Welcome. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And we thank you for coming out today. Again, I want to let you know our evening services are open as well. Tonight I'll actually be preaching on peace and talking about Isaiah 26:3-4, our memory verses for this month. And so looking forward to the opportunity to share with you. I know we're in a time of trouble. And hopefully be able to share with you some biblical truths that will really help you. Then over the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to look at how to restore relationships, dealing with resentment, bitterness, anger, and so forth in the evening services as a follow-up to what we're doing in the morning, which will be back into the book of Esther. Today is the last week. We'll be in the book of Joshua. I began this series when we started with this pandemic. And I found some wonderful truths in there through studying I thought that would help us through this time. And so we kind of made this abbreviated study through the book of Joshua. And we'll be getting back into the book of Esther next week and really, really looking forward to that. And trust to be able to come out and to be part of that service. So again, a lot of things happening here. Wednesday nights, we're still designating toward the youth. Our teens are now meeting up in the A-frame. Our adults are meeting down here with the young people, and because we really believe we need at least one service that's really focusing to help our young people grow during this time, we're continuing to look at opening things up, holding more services, and so forth. And so keep your eye posted on the emails or your ear posted to any announcements we might make, and looking forward to that. Turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. We are privileged through the Word of God to hear some very godly men make some clear statements toward their end, toward the end of their lives, kind of the sit up and listen type statements. Examples would be such as Isaiah in Genesis chapter 49 when he calls his sons together to him. And he begins to speak to them and either pronounce really a blessing or a curse, more dependent upon their character than just their name. And so such as Reuben, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. So Isaiah makes some tremendous statements. Ye sons of Jacob, come and listen to Israel. Ye physical men of the flesh, come and listen to what your spiritual father has to say. I think of Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy toward the end of his life. He had fought a good fight. He had kept the faith and so forth. And now he's writing to young Timothy who's in the battle for the Lord. What about Peter? He says, I've got to soon put off this tabernacle, but before I do, I want to put you in remembrance of some things. And so he delivers to them a message that he thought they needed well after he was gone, that the Word of God would stand forever. Moses would make some tremendous statements before going up onto the mountain. And here in Joshua, as you get into the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th chapters, is really Joshua's final statements. He's older now in age. It mentions it twice in the 23rd chapter. And he is now calling all of Israel together and the priests and so forth to come and hear what he has to say. And really reminding them of some things and then also challenging them to consider who are they going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods of the world? Or are you going to serve the one true God, the God of Israel? And so I want to talk to you today about what will your house do for the Lord? Because I really want to look at whom will ye serve and what it means to serve. And really probing this, what will you and your house do for the Lord? Let's begin, though, with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the song that was just sung. The idea we need to rise up and to serve you kind of goes along with the nature of your word and the nature of this message today. I thank you for these that have gathered here today. They have fought through the things that they might be concerned and fearful of and decided to come and listen in, whether in the parking lot or right here in the service today. And I trust that your word will speak volumes to us today. Father, really, nothing I have to say is of any eternal value unless it's based totally upon what you have to say. And so, Father, we need to hear first from you, and then may you help me to give explanation to it, and may you help me to give application to it, that today we would rise up in the same way and choose whom we are going to serve. And so guide through this service. May Jesus Christ ultimately be glorified in and through it. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice here in the 23rd chapter as Joshua is calling the children of Israel together. And it says it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel. And I have mentioned before in previous messages, the book of Joshua covers approximately 25 years. And according to the opening verse of chapter 23, there had been a long time since he had given rest. So they've kind of eased up for a little bit. They had already sent the other 2.5 tribes back to the other side of Jordan. I addressed that last week on how we commonly don't handle things properly and jump to conclusions and so forth. If nothing else, you ought to listen and learn how I could teach 9 points in 30 minutes. I was kind of impressed with that myself. Usually I'm a 1-2 point guy, and we had 9 points last week, but we're able to get through that. But it had been years now, and they had some rest, and God had really been working in their lives. And look at what Joshua has to say. Look at partway into verse number 3. He says, "The Lord your God is he that fought for you." Just a reminder, man, it was the Lord that was there and fighting for you. Verse 4, "Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain." So let me just stop and explain that. Joshua 23, verse number 4, he's talking about this. He says, you know, we've gone in, we've conquered the land. We now have the land of Canaan, or what we call the promised land. But there are a few nations that are left here. We are about to divide up the remaining portions now of the land, but there are some other nations still about us here. So look what he says in verse number 5, "And the Lord your God shall expel them before you and drive them from out of your sight." And so what is he saying here? There are some areas I want you to journey to. We're going to divide this up. We're going to give the land people of Judah a certain portion and so forth. He's going to divide up the various nations. And as he does so, he says, I want you to know this, there are enemies there, but the Lord's going to drive them out of the land before you. So again, boy, isn't God so faithful? He continues to serve the nation of Israel, and he's going to expel them out of their sight, out of the land. Verse number 6, "But ye therefore..." I said that in the first service. I still haven't woken up. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Okay, we're about to divide up the land. This is what I want you to do. I want you to obey God's word. That's your first and foremost responsibility. There's enemies there. God's going to take care of the enemies. But what about conquering? God's going to take care of that. You just obey the word of God. And so Joshua is preparing them. They've been resting for a little while. Joshua is preparing them to enter now into this promised territories for each of these nations. So be ye therefore very courageous. Keep the word, verse number 7, that ye come not among these nations. He's calling for separatism. He said, I want you to separate. He says, I want you to be separatist in this. He says, I want you to don't get among these nations. These that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow. He said, I don't want you becoming like them. I want you to be different. You are the chosen people of God. I don't want you to do that, but look what he says in verse number 8, but cleave unto the Lord. This is what I want you to do. I want you to cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. And look what he again admonishes in verse number 11. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. So here it boils down to this. Joshua is announcing to them, we are about to change gears a little bit. God had overthrown so many of your enemies and has given you some rest. You are now about to take over the remaining portions of the land, and it's going to be divided among you. Here's what I want you to do. Number one, obey the word. Number two, hold on to the Lord. Number three, love Him with all your heart. I'll do the rest. So Joshua is preparing them that the Lord is about to give them continual victory, and he merely wants them to obey the word, hold on to the Lord, and love Him with all their heart. So let's enter into chapter 24. And I'll talk to you about two things this morning, or two points I want to break this down into. And the first is this: you have an assignment to accept. You have an assignment to accept. And I really want to focus here not so much on the acceptance, but the assignment. What is the assignment? How many of you, maybe when you go into work, maybe tomorrow morning you go into work and they say, hey, I have a job for you. We before you get too happy about it, you better ask them, well, what's the job? And find out what the assignment is before you're ready to accept it and move on. Well, what is the assignment that Joshua has for Israel? Well, let's look at this again and just kind of reset the table here in chapter 24. And Joshua, look at verse number 1, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Now, that's interesting. He gathered them in chapter 23 after a long time of rest. Now he's gathering them in chapter 24. So there must mean there's another gap there between chapters 23 and chapter 24. He's regathering Israel together and giving them one final admonition before he gives them a commission to serve the Lord. And so look what it says here in some of these opening verses. In fact, let me do it this way. Let me just kind of summarize it for you. I've read it numerous times to get the idea of what's going on from verses 2 to 13, where he takes them basically from Abraham to Canaan. So let me explain to you what's going on. What Joshua tells the children of Israel is this: you know what? The Lord has been fighting hard for you. And if you'd add it together, it's over 500-600 years he's been fighting hard for you. It started when he called your father Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees, and he moved them up into the land of promise. After that, you were down in Egypt, and so the Lord had to provide for you in Egypt. And then he made a way for you to get out. And as you got to the Red Sea, the enemy was approaching behind, and God divided the Red Sea for you and then brought it back together and killed the enemy behind you. God provided for you in the wilderness. As you were 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God was providing for you in the wilderness and then brought you to the edge of the Jordan. God again was able to divide Jordan and allow you to cross the Jordan River into this promised land that had many enemies. Remember, some of them were very large. Some of them they were fearful of. And God was able to give you Jericho and Ai and the Gibeonites. And he goes on to the various kings that were mentioned. You know, I came to this conclusion after reading this. Wow, God had done a lot for them. God had been serving them year after year after year, conquest after conquest, providing for them and blessing them. And so the reality was, God was about to say, now what are you going to do for me? I've been serving you these many years. I established your nation. I gave a covenant to you. I gave an agreement that I would give you this land. Not because you deserve it, but I have given you this land so that you would use it in service to me. And so he is now going to give them what I have called an assignment to accept. And the assignment gets really clear. Sometime I'd encourage you to read it, and maybe with a colored pencil in hand, and I would encourage you to mark every time it uses the word serve, because that becomes the emphasis now, beginning in verse number 14 and going all the way down to verse number 24. In fact, the word serve is found 13 times there, 12 of those times referring to you need to serve or we will serve. Only one time it was used in another way. And so the emphasis is serving the Lord. Let's pick it up in verses 14 and 15 now and get into some really familiar sounding words for us, some of you. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Notice the emphasis there. Serve, serve, served in the past tense. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Wow, isn't that an unusual statement to make? If I were to stop and ask you, how many of you think it would be a bad thing, an evil thing, a wicked thing to serve the Lord? I ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask that for fear somebody not just really focusing would raise their hand. But I would presume, maybe that's a good way to find out if you are paying attention. But I would presume if I asked, how many of you think it's a bad thing to serve the Lord? I don't think anybody would raise their hand outwardly. But I think sometimes by the choices we make, we are thinking that way inwardly. Now, I don't think if we were put on the spot, we'd say, hey, come to the platform here and explain why it's a bad thing to serve the Lord. I don't think any of us would want to do that. But the reality of it is sometimes by the choices we make, we think, you know what, I think it's a waste of time to serve the Lord. You know, some people, and sometimes it comes and starts really coming in the third, fourth grade, and even rising up from there, where you start to develop this idea, I think church is a waste of time. We get this idea sometimes in our mind, man, I'm not wasting my time reading the Bible. I'm not praying to God. He never answers my prayer anyway. And again, what are we saying? Not on the outward, but on the inward, we're saying, you know what? I think it's worthless. Serve the Lord. And really he's saying, hey, here's an assignment that I'd really like to see you accept. But some of you, you're going to think through this and think, that's not how I want to spend the rest of my life. By the way, we sang that song earlier, and I won't be able to repeat the words, but, you know, it's basically all the trials fled away and night was turned to day. Do you remember singing through it? Boy, it's easy to sing. And reality, that's how it is initially at salvation. Man, the weight of sin comes up. By the way, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Most important question I could ask you. Are you a born-again Christian? Has there been a time where you trusted in God alone to save you and to bring you into a relationship with Him, which ends with an eternal home in heaven? And has there ever been a time where you placed your trust fully on Him to save you from your sins and give you a home in heaven? And if not, I want to encourage you to consider and ask God to work in your heart and even allow us to share with you more how you can be saved. What a tremendous privilege and opportunity to serve the Lord with heart, soul, mind, and strength. But I think sometimes we can grow up in the Christian home and all and kind of come to this conclusion, this is all a waste of time. And I've got better things to do with my life, and this can start pretty young in our years. And I want you to know, while the Christian life has its battles, it will. There are more victories and there are more joys than there are sorrows. And I want you to know, and this is kind of leads me just even to tonight's service, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And so he says, you might look at it and think it's evil to serve the Lord. Beginning of verse number 15, choose you this day whom ye will serve. All right, so every one of us then need to make a personal decision here. I want you all to choose who you're going to serve. And what, in a sense, Joshua is going to say, I'm on this side, what side are you on? Karen's been teaching the story of Gideon. Gideon was thankful when a host came onto his side, and then the Lord began to weed them out, what, from 30,000 to 300, if I remember correctly, began to take away all the people that were on Gideon's side. But you know what, dear friends? If God be for us, who can be against us? And we each need to stop and make a personal decision. All right, who are we going to serve? Joshua goes on to say, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will, what? Serve the Lord. Now, what does that look like? What does that mean? You know, how many of you, either in the home where you now live or growing up in the home or whatever, at some point had part of this verse on your wall, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Raise your hand. Yeah, a great number of you did. When my mom raised her hand this morning, I realized I should have my hand up. I don't know that I could really remember having that up in the home, but we had at one point in our home as I was growing up as well. And you know what? I never really stopped all any of these previous years to really think, what is this verse actually asking? But as for me and my house, you need to choose whom ye will serve. It doesn't say choose whether or not you're going to go to church. It doesn't say, choose today whether or not you're going to read your Bible in the future. Choose today whether or not you're going to pray in the future. I think all those things can be included in the service. But think about how, I'm going to say it this way. Hopefully you understand the connection I'm trying to make. How Joshua set the table. He set the table over two chapters and in two different speeches that he made, saying, you know what, the Lord has done this for us. He's done this for us. He's done this for us. He's done this for us. And here we are resting. We're about to enter into a new land, and we're only going to get that land because the Lord's going to do this for us, and He's going to do this for us. I mean, He's going to expel them and drive them out of the land. He fought for you. Now, what are you going to do for Him? Serve, this word serve, is actually to work, to toil, to take on another man's job or to work for another man. This has the idea of laboring. This isn't going to church. I mean, sometimes that is a struggle. Sometimes it is a challenge, especially if you have children and a lame husband. Anyway, especially if you have children. Let me stop there. I didn't mean to add that other part in there. Especially if you have children and so forth. That can be work. I understand. But the reality of it is that isn't really what this verse is encompassing. This is saying in the life that you are living, how much time are you going to invest in really serving God? Doing something for God. By the way, sometimes our service, now please don't become offended by this. Maybe I can say this easier now because we have offering boxes and not ushers. Sometimes we choose service that involves, oh, I'll already be at church, so I'll volunteer to usher. Meaning it's no more sacrifice of my time. And I'm not putting down any of the ushers that we have and saying you're just trying to take the easy jobs. But the reality of it is sometimes we have to say, all right, what am I going to actually do for God that's going to account for something? Instead of, oh, well, I'm already at church, so I might as well just, I'll volunteer for this and that. That way that's my service for the Lord. I would encourage you as a practical application to this message is to go home after this service today or sometime throughout this week and take out a sheet of paper and just put on there, my service for God. And then list everything you work hard at for God. I mean, the only reason you're doing it is to serve God. And then evaluate the list. I'm going to be honest, some, I don't know, will have anything on there. I don't know if there's been any choices of, I am actually doing this to serve God. Some it might be just one or two things that actually don't take up much time at all. And again, this is what Joshua's called. There's an assignment to be accepted. The assignment was not just showing up. The assignment was actually serving. Then secondly, then, so you have a choice to consider. Now this is again, there's some overlap in these, but I'm emphasizing a different thing. All right, now it's time for you to make a choice. By the way, it fell from the top down here, according to Joshua, and so I'm going to do this. I'm really calling on you men to really listen up at this point, because God has placed upon your shoulders the leadership of your home. And so it's time to step up here and make a choice, and realize this, your choice not only impacts you, your choice impacts your family. No doubt, the choice that Joshua made not only impacted his life and what he was going to be doing with the few years left, but he realized it was going to impact the lives of everyone that were under him. God has called you to leadership of your home. And God is expecting you to make the call. I thought about this scenario, and I thought they're gathered together here. And again, he is calling them to active service. And he's saying, I want you to choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. And so I think God is looking at the men, like Joshua is looking at the men and saying, all right, who are you and your house going to serve? And again, I don't think there was a lukewarm option here. You're either serving the gods that are on the other side of the flood, or the gods in whose land you dwell, the Amorites, or the God of Israel. By the way, I think there are gods in America. I think there's the God of materialism. But I think the biggest God we struggle with is the God of self. Doing things for ourselves, putting the world around us and putting us at the center of our world. And so we have a choice to consider: who are we and who is our family going to serve? Again, verse number 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if you really think it's a poor choice to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, I'm going to jump to the end of verse number 15, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered, don't you want to hear what the people had to say? The people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord. So I came to this conclusion, if I choose anyone else but God, I have forsaken the God that has so faithfully served me. Think of Israel, all these things that God had done for them, and they didn't deserve any of it. And what is God saying? I want you to serve God, and He deserves all of it. Have I really done my best for Jesus? He's done so much for me. So again, what his admonition was here, his call to, his challenge was, who are you going to serve? With the time you have, with the life you have, what, and I boiled it down to this. To me, it was a matter of direction. I am sure at times, even though it was toward the end of his life, I'm sure at times Joshua failed. I'm sure at times many of these people made this decision, failed. In fact, a couple hundred years later, they had totally turned away from this decision. But the reality of it, they were saying, you know what, we're going to serve the Lord. We are not going to forsake, because God deserves better than that. Think about, dear friend, what God has done for you. The many blessings, the many provisions that He's made. We didn't deserve any of it. And Joshua finally gets them together, the end of his life, and says, who are you going to serve? And that's simply my question to you. With the energies that you have now, with the time that you have now, and it's different, with the talents that you have now, with the interests that you have, who are you going to serve? By the way, your service won't look like everyone else's, so don't compare yourself with anybody else. Oh, I'm doing more than they are. I'm doing harder things than they are. I'm doing more complex things than they are. Some are more talented. Some are more skilled. Brother Davis sits over here. It's unfair. He can do about anything. Man, it comes to fixing things. He can fix this, fix that. You know what I can do? I can pick up the phone and call Brother Davis. I've done that a few times. He fixed my latest thing was my grease gun, and it's still down here, and he fixed that for me. I've repaired things. I've built houses, but I still am not the craftsman near to the degree. But you know what? God isn't going to compare me to Him. God isn't going to compare you to Him. God isn't going to compare you to anyone else. So if we apply this, and we biblically do, we get called to service, it won't look the same for everybody. Your interests are different, your skills are different, your energy level is different, your age is different. Your place in life is different. Some of you are busy scurrying about getting children together, and ladies, man, put your children and serving the Lord with your children first. Man, don't leave your children behind and just go off and serving the Lord and leave your children behind. Man, that is your ministry right now. Bring those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And where there's room, attach other things to it. But serve the Lord by raising your kids for God. Others of you can pick up a hammer. Mow the yard. Help with vacation Bible school. The question is, what are we doing to serve the Lord? And again, what I'd encourage you to do is get out that piece of paper. By the way, if you're raising children for the Lord, you can write that in really large print, okay? Because that basically does fill your life. I don't want you to think this line for line it's equal. It's not. Raising children for the Lord and me preparing a sermon are on different levels. And honestly, the raising for the children for the Lord is harder and takes more than preaching a sermon. But who are you going to serve? We have a choice to make, and we have an assignment to accept. And the assignment isn't merely, hey, I'm going to keep coming to church. That's part of it. The assignment is this: I'm going to find a way to serve the Lord, in a sense, to repay Him for all that He's done for me. Let's pray. Could you say, as for me and my house, we are serving the Lord? Could you say, as for me, I'm serving the Lord? Or maybe even you might say it as a parent, but you're not bringing your children along to doing the same. So some of you are single, or just as a couple, and you're saying, well, we're serving the Lord. But some of you are a parent and saying, well, I'm serving the Lord, but my children really aren't. So this is really a challenge, because it's calling for leadership. And especially for the men. I think probably in the crowd, as Joshua was speaking, I think I started to say this earlier and then I never finished it. But I'm sure in the crowd as Joshua was speaking, there were some ladies that were praying, "Oh God, please move my husband to say yes to God." Or maybe even they were elbowing their husbands, hoping that they would make a right choice here. Guys, God never intended for your wife to be the sole spiritual influence in the home. Now, if that's the way it ends up, you know what? God will do and give the grace needed to accomplish what needs to be done. But shame on us as men if our lives are not equal to that of our wives in wanting to have a spiritual home. Don't leave it all to your wife. Just simply, who would say, "Pastor, as you preached this morning, God has touched my heart in serving Him. I think God wants me to make some changes. I'm not going to deal with all the specifics, but I believe God is dealing with my heart right now. Would you pray for me that I would make the choice to serve the Lord and then find a way to do it?" Would you pray for me, preacher? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You may put those hands down. Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You may put those hands down. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We want to make a decision. I'd love for all of us to really have the opportunity to resoundingly say, we don't want to forsake the Lord. We are going to serve Him. But some might be considering forsaking the Lord. Some might be thinking it is a waste of time. So, Lord, Father, please be merciful to them. Please deal with their hearts. And for those that have already acknowledged they want to see change, they want to see greater service, they want to be better leaders for the days to come, oh, Father, would you grace them with the continual desire and the strength to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. Again, we are concluding services so much different than we usually do during this time, and we're still transitioning. We're just asking for the safety of one another as you leave the building to put a mask on if you're able to, and to leave the building. I leave quickly because I hate having the mask on very long. And so let's exit kind of quickly, get outside, get onto the grass, get into the parking lot, and enjoy some fellowship. If you can, stay a little clear from right at the entrance and exit here, just so people have room to get out and get to their vehicles. But let's enjoy some fellowship. We will have service tonight on peace. I'm talking to you tonight about the perfect gift of perfect peace. And we'll be looking at that tonight. God bless you. You are dismissed.